Good evening and welcome to Everything Classic 102.1 Spud FM for the first ever episode of Spud Sports Sunday, PEI's only sports talk radio show. I'm your host, Ryan McKenna, and I will be, I'm very excited to kick things off. If this is your first time listening to the station, then I'll give you a little bit of background information about myself. I'm born and raised here in PEI, just outside Summerside. Went to Three Oaks Senior High before deciding to go to Ryerson University in Toronto, Ontario. I'm going into my third year, my Bachelor of Journalism, next year. And this is my second summer here at Spud FM. So Spud Sports Sunday, it's been an idea of mine for a while now, and the show itself became a reality a couple of weeks ago. The show will feature all of your sports news, whether it be local, national, or international, and we have special guest appearances every week as well, and every week we'll also profile a local athlete and the sport in which they compete in. This week's show will be a doozy. I'm pumped for it. In studio with me now is president of Summerside Area Minor Baseball, John Martinson. At 7:20, I will be joined by former NHL assistant general manager, scout, and currently the general manager of the Charlottetown Islanders of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, Grant Sonia. After 7:30, I will be joined by a new regular on Spud Sports Sunday. It's Jeremy Pearl for the Blue Jays Report. And we will wrap up the show this week with a profile of J.P. Stevenson of New Glasgow PEI. He is currently playing for Baseball Canada and their junior national team on the New England Summer Tour. Very excited for that. I have Greg Hamilton, the director of baseball operations with Baseball Canada, as well as Bob Doyle on the show to talk about JP and what exactly he has done for the junior national program and what he has done himself as a pitcher. But before we get it underway, I'd like to thank the fine folks over at Staples in Summerside. They have superb customer service. I got some yesterday, and great quality headphones. I bought a pair of the Tony Bennett Signature Koss headphones yesterday, and I must say, they are fairly brilliant. And also, a big thank you to you, the Spud listeners, whether you are listening live on 102.1 Spud FM, online at www.spud.fm, or on Spud Sports Sunday Podcast. On that note, I'd like to welcome to the show President of Summerside Area Minor Baseball Association, John Martinson. John, how you doing?
Good, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. You can go a little bit closer to the mic, John.
Perfect.
So, John, how many years have you been the president of minor baseball in Summerside, and what do you hope to bring to the association?
This is my second year taking over from past president, Mike Cameron. I'd like to bring my baseball knowledge from playing in Toronto and coaching there, and my years coaching in Summerside. I'd like to bring that to the table and just bring an overall knowledge associations to this association, which is a fine association. It's been run very well for very many years. Danny McKenna before Mike, and Mike Cameron, who has given a lot to minor baseball in Summerside and has left me with very big shoes to fill in my tenure as president of Summerside Minor Baseball.
So how have the teams from Summerside, how have they done this year? And actually, well, what's registration like in Summerside?
Registration is good. We're about the same number we were last year. We have gone down in the higher age groups. The peewees, the bantams, and the midgets have seen a decrease in numbers. But our blast ball, pony, and mosquito age groups have seen an increase in numbers. So we're seeing the numbers grow where they should, which is at our grassroots level, as they are the ones that will be the future of Summerside Minor Baseball.
So I understand that you hired a couple of summer students to help out with the younger leagues. Who are they, and what exactly do they bring to SABA?
Our two program workers we have Chris Bryce and Brett Pino, who are back for a second season with us as well.
Not Chris Rice. Really?
Chris Rice. The one and only Chris Rice. they've come back for a second year. They look after our glass ball pony and our mosquito house league program. They run the practices Monday through Thursday through the day. And then they run the games at night with the help, of course, of the parents. Once they're done the games, they also are two of our newer umpires, I'll say. They're getting their feet wet this year doing Bantam AAA and Midget games. So they're quite the busy guys.
So in 2014, PEI is slated to host 13 and under Pee Wee Atlantic National Championship. Is Summerside planning on putting in a bid at all, John?
I will go on the record of saying yes, we will. We did host it last time it was on the island. Vice President of SABA right now, James Phillips, was head coach, and we actually won it that year. So we would like to put in for it again. I know between myself and who I have on the board with me, between James and Gary Barlow, and all our volunteers, that we would be able to put on a great Atlantic again. But fair is fair. If someone else puts in for it, we may not get it, but I would like to see us host it yet again next year.
Because Summerside, of course, is known as a tournament town, right? You know, they have the Pee-wee. We had the Pee-wee Nationals for many, many years.
Yes, we are.
I know
St.
John's, Newfoundland, that wants to
come over for our midget weekend tournaments. We are known as a tournament city. People like coming to our facility. We have one of the better facilities on the island. And we run great tournaments. We have a chance to be right there. We have three great ball fields. So, and like I said, yeah, they are all run very well. So people just, once they see our tournaments,
so, do you know exactly when maybe you'll hear about the bid for the 2014 13 and under Atlantics? Any idea on when you'll know for sure?
Nothing till next year. We'll have to apply at the start of next year, and then we will find out about this time next year. We'll know, but we will put in a bid. We will get our bid process going this winter as a board. Make sure that when we do go baseball PI with our bid, that it is an outstanding bid. It's a bid like no other. And in hopes to get it and to bring a high-profile tournament like that back to Summerside.
Speaking with John Martinson, president of Summerside Area Minor Baseball Association. Now, John, there's a new rule in place this year with Bantam Baseball. They now have to use wooden bats. It's a very big change, especially since Bantam has never used wooden bats in previous years. I guess, what are your own personal thoughts on it? Do you like it?
It's not a bad idea. I know when the BAM AAAs, if they go to nationals, they will be using wooden bats on a national level. My only hope is for next year they let the Bantam AAs go back to metal bats. We've seen, at least in Summerside this year,
lots of first-year Bantam players, not big, strong boys, struggle with wooden bats. And it's frustrating for them. You know, they're not hitting the ball as far. They're not getting used to it as much.
Do you think it's discouraging them from playing baseball, John?
I don't think it'll make them quit. I don't think it'll make them walk away from the sport. But it is. I mean, everything is a learning curve too. Maybe by the end of the year, the boys have all taken into wooden bats. They love wooden bats, and it's something here to stay.
Now, staying on the topic of Bantam Baseball, there's only three teams, and the Bantam AAA League on PEI this year. There's Summerside, there's a split team between Cornwall and Kensington, and then there's Charlottetown. What's happened, John? I played Bantam AAA in 2008, giving away my age a little bit, not that I'm that old, but it was just merely 4 or 5 years ago now that I played Bantam AAA baseball. We had five teams. What's happened? On that note, the national championships are in Vaughan this summer for from August 22nd to the 26th, but you only have three teams. What kind of competition is that?
It's been a very trying year for the BAM AAA League. This is something we saw forthcoming last year. And we did bring it to Baseball PEI. We've tried everything we can to make the league have more than three teams. 2 years ago in Pee Wee, the same amount of teams plus Richmond. Richmond doesn't have a banner field. They don't have the field they have does not have the proper dimensions to host a banner team. So we knew what was coming.
But where is the kids from down east? Because whenever I played, and that's like I said, it's not that long ago, there was a ton of kids from the Kings County area, and they're very good at baseball, too. There's some great ball players from down that way.
There is. For the years that we've been playing down in Kings County with the Midgets the last 2 years and the Bands 2 years before that, Kings County has always had great teams. They've always been towards the top of the leagues. I want to say it may be a commitment thing. The one thing I hope that it's not is the being afraid to lose. And all we speak about it a lot is everyone has to lose. Only one team can win. Only one team can be a champion. Only one team can be island champion. But if you look at the AA teams, a lot of AA teams, only three AAA teams. And I would put money that you take the top three AA teams and they compete with the AAA teams any day of the week.
You look at just a couple weeks ago, It was announced that there was a pitcher from Sherwood, played AAA baseball last year, and here he is in Bantam AA. And I don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to bash the pitcher that did this, but he threw a perfect game in Bantam AA baseball. Where is the fun in playing Bantam AA baseball and clearly being way better caliber than what that league has to offer? Where's the fun?
That's a question I'd love to give you the answer for, Ryan, and it's something that, as Summerside Minor Baseball, we've always sat back and looked at and said, you know, we have teams, like I said, you take the top three or four AA teams, they would compete with the AAA teams any night of the week. So where's someone somewhere along the line has to step up and say, we're going to go AAA. We may win, we may lose, but we're going to be competitive, and we're going to make the league something that it's supposed to be.
Now, is that on the onus of Baseball PEI, or is that more so on the onus of the associations itself?
Baseball PEI has tried zoning like minor hockey has. It was not voted successfully last time was brought up, but I think, like minor hockey, it's going to be something that has to be put in. I mean, three teams, you're seeing the same two teams every week. You know, it gets to the point of where are our athletes playing? I watched a game the other night. There was a pitcher from Cardigan. He was not a AA pitcher, Ryan. He could be the starting pitcher for Summerside. Maybe if not the starting pitcher, he'd be number two or three. This kid had three good pitches. He had a fastball. He had a junky curve, and he had a knuckleball. Like, you shouldn't be playing Bantam AA baseball when you can throw three successful pitches.
Yeah, well, not only that, but, you know, these kids, they're only playing against two other teams. You get to the national championship in Vaughan, and you're not going to be prepared.
No, and you're not going to be. And that's something that, you know, we can try as much as we can. And I say we, but speaking with Blair Christopher in Kensington, Andrew Cameron in Cornwall, and Dave McIsaac in Charlottetown, this is something we've all tried to fix this year. With associations maybe joining up with one another. You know, take six from one association, six from another, and put a AAA team in. And for whatever reasons, they've fallen through. So it is definitely tough, but the games are good. The games are close. And speaking of the Nationals, Summerside is actually hosting the eliminations this coming weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a double round robin tournament. If there is a 4-0 team, they will earn the right to go to Vaughan. The second-place team gets to go to Newfoundland for Atlantics this year. So there's lots on the line this weekend.
Good old double. And that's over at Queen Elizabeth Park?
Yes, sir, on the newly named Legends Field.
New formerly named Legends Field. Speaking with John Burnison, president of Summerside and Area Minor Baseball Association. So moving on now to the PEI Midget League, a league in which you're a coach of one of the midget teams here in Summerside. Talk to me about both Summerside teams. How are they doing so far? I looked at the standings earlier this week. They seem to be right in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, we are we're a lot more competitive than we've been last year. Last year, both teams struggled in the league, but we've kind of hit the crop of kids right now in Summerside where we have really strong kids, and we've been very competitive. I know my team, we're 4-2-1. We tied one against Stratford. We lost by one against Charlottetown, and we lost to Bedeck. So, I mean, it's a league that any given night, any team can win. And that's the kind of league that you want. You want to be able to go into the ball field any night and be in a game. Win, lose, or draw, you know you're in the game.
Now, there's 9 teams in the Midget League. I know we just chastised the Bantamley for only 3 teams for the last 5 minutes or so. But 9 teams in the Midget League. What do you think was the main key in getting more teams involved and more teams in the league? Because going back to whenever I played, which is not too long ago, just a couple years ago in the Midget League, numbers were dwindling.
Numbers are going down a lot. And it's something we really, you know, if it's mosquito or pony or blast ball, even peewee, we can look at. We can say it's soccer or another sport, midget. And I see it with my kids, work. Girlfriends, just other things going on. Baseball is not a priority anymore. On the flip side of that, maybe it's time we look at, and I know we just talked about with the BAM Triple A League, is maybe tiering the Midget League. You have kids that have played Double A ball, Mosquito, Pee Wee, Bantam, and are now being thrown into a game with Triple A kids. Kids they've never seen before. They've never had to play against this caliber of kids. So maybe that's, and I can speak for kids we're missing this year in midget that should have played this year. It's frustrating to go up to bat in a game and go 0-3 or 0-2, 2 strikeouts, and not be able to have that fun. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a kid's sport, right? We're all here to have fun. I know you touched on J.P. Stevenson. You know, he's a kid that comes around once in a while. He's not a everyday kind of kid. I had the chance to watch JP when he was in Summerside, and he's an outstanding ball player, you know. I know Mike Cameron's midget team, they've got 4 Canada Games kids on their team. So, I mean, we do have good ball players here, but I think the focus sometimes needs to be on the bottom tier kids. We have to keep them in the sport.
And, sorry, how exactly do you suggest keeping those kids in the sport?
I would say we tier the Midget League and use that as the example, because it's not, everything else is tiered. Mosquito, you got Double A, Triple A House League. Pee Wee, same thing. Pee Wee this year, we have a Pee Wee A League for the first time I've ever seen a Pee Wee A League. And I know in Summerside, we've never had an A team, but we've put an A team in. We've been competitive in the games we've played, and the kids are playing with the right kids.
But soon got to wrap things up here, John, but I mean, are the numbers there to be able to do that? Because there's don't get me wrong, there's 9 teams this year, but just a few years ago, there was only 5 teams, there was only 4 teams, and you were barely getting 9 players a night. Is there enough kids to be able to tier these leagues, especially the Midget League?
I think so, yeah, because, I mean, when you look at 9 teams, the number's quite deceiving. Like, we've got 30 midget-age kids in Summerside alone, with more that would want to play. But X got 18 or 19 kids. Charlottetown plays every night with 20 kids. So if you put a tier in where you can say to those Double A kids that have played Double A their whole lives, we're not going to put you up against the Triple A kids. You're going to play with kids that are your caliber for 3 more years of baseball. Come here and play Double A baseball like you have your whole life. You're going to get those extra kids out. And I mean, the numbers have been great. Other than really West Prince, I don't know up west what's going on, but we've always had played against West Prince, and there's been no midget team the last 3 or 4 years. But I mean, I think you'd get more kids out. Like Charlottetown gets 4 more kids, that's 2 teams in Charlottetown, so that's a 10 team league. So there's 2 teams of 5. Maybe you get kids out of Sherwood, Sherwood doesn't have a midget team right now. So I do think if you tiered it and did it properly like we're doing in Pee Wee, you're going to get the right kids out. You're going to keep the kids in the sport. And at the end of the day, like we said, that's the most important thing to me as a president of a minor ball in Summerside is making sure kids always stay playing minor baseball.
John Murnison, president of baseball in Summerside. John, thanks so much for joining me on the first ever episode of Spud Sports Sunday.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
We're going to now take a quick break, but after the break, we're going to talk to former NHL assistant general manager, former NHL scout, and current general manager of the Charlottetown Islanders, Grant Sonia. He'll join me to recap all the transactions that went on in the National Hockey League this week. Leading in the break here, Simon and Garfunkel, The Boxer, on Everything Classic 102.1 Spud FM. I am just a poor boy. Everything Classic 102.1 Spud FM. It's Simon and Garfunkel with The Boxer. 7:26, you're listening to Spud Sports Sunday on Everything Classic 102.1 Spud FM. Joining me on the line now is former assistant general manager in the National Hockey League, as well as a scout, and now current general manager of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League franchise, the Charlottetown Islanders, Grant Sonia. Grant, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
So, Grant, it's time to talk some NHL. It was a pretty crazy week that was, free agent frenzy going on Friday. Why don't we start off with which team do you feel walked away as the winner?
That's a good question. I'm sure they all feel like they're winners. I know the Leaf fans and Leaf Nation, they feel with Clarkson being signed that they're the big winners. I think Detroit feels they're the big winners, getting Daniel Albertson and Steven Weiss. The list goes on and on and on. I couldn't say who I think the biggest winner is, really, because as much as I follow the National Hockey League, I'm busy trying to get our own hockey team going.
You know, speaking of the Toronto Maple Leafs, there's lots of fans here on Prince Edward Island. They re-signed center Tyler Bozak to a five-year deal worth $21 million, and they also signed free agent right winger David Clarkson to a seven-year deal worth $36.75 million. Let's start off with Clarkson, Grant. First off, was this a good signing for the Maple Leafs?
Well, I think it was. They obviously feel they need that type of player. He's a sandpaper type of player that also can score some goals. So it's kind of a double effect when you can keep Bozak, which would look like they'll continue to try and keep Kessel, and all of a sudden you've got a little more grit and you've got some goal scoring to remain in the lineup. And you know, I think Dave Nonis and the staff there, they know exactly what they're getting in Clarkson. He's been a hard player to play against. He's put up numbers. He's coming off of a season where he had some injuries, but if he stays healthy, he's certainly an integral part of any hockey club.
Now the deal is 7 years long. There's already been some talk about how Clarkson could in the future be a source of buyout material. Do you feel as though the Leafs signed him for too long or that they spent too much money on him?
It's really not for me to say. I mean, obviously, when you get into free agency, when I was with Florida and with Tampa, we got into some of those things. But it's a whole, now in today's day, it's a whole different ball of wax. You have to spend money to get just to the floor now. There's some teams that have to do that. The salary cap from whenever I was in management is drastically increased. And that's where the agents and the players really bend teams over the barrel, is on the term of the contract. So I guarantee you there's other teams offering the same amount of money, but what happens is it comes down to term, and you're seeing more and more contracts now with long-term ramifications, and teams apparently don't care about the buyout. It's what are you going to do for me now? And that's the pressure of teams that need to win today.
Now, speaking of buyouts, the Leafs also made a move to buy out Mikhail Grabowski, who he had some very interesting parting shots at head coach Randy Carlyle. He said, "I play in explicit Russian KHL. I make lots of bleep money and points. What's going to happen? He makes me bleep play on the fourth line, and he puts me on playoffs in the fourth line and third line again. Grabowski went on to say that I don't feel any support from this bleep idiot. What do you make of this whole debacle here with Grabowski, and did the Leafs make a mistake by buying him out?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's ever a bright move to close the door in whatever industry you're in, whether you're in the hockey industry or even outside of the sports world. You know, obviously Grabowski is upset. You can look at it both ways. I look at it that he's an athlete that really cares, but obviously he's let his talking probably come out the wrong way. Those are things that should be said behind closed doors between a coach and a player. In terms of the buyout, again, not for me to comment. I'm not running the Toronto Maple Leafs, but they've obviously felt they could move on, and they did so after getting a guy like Clarkson. So, you know, it's a tough old business. It's hard to be a general manager of an NHL team. There's a lot of moving parts, and if you're not winning, and you're not winning the Stanley Cup, and even then, there's still moving parts. So it's a tough business for sure.
Now moving on to Northern Ontario with Ottawa, the Daniel Alfredson era is over. He signed a one-year contract with the Detroit Red Wings on Friday worth $5.5 million. How big of a loss do you feel, Grant, is Alfredson to the Senators and the Ottawa community?
Well, I think it's big. I mean, on two fronts. He was obviously entrenched in the community, spent his entire career there. This goes to just how much players value trying to win the Stanley Cup. Now, it's backfired on a lot of people, and it's also worked out for some people that have picked the team that they wanted to go to that feel that they could win the Cup. Obviously, Alfredson feels Detroit is further down that road and closer to the Cup than Ottawa. My understanding is it wasn't a money issue. It was purely an opportunity in Alfredson's mind to win a Stanley Cup, and he feels that opportunity is better with Detroit. But I think he'll be missed because, you know, a coaching staff like Paul McLean and Dave Cameron and Mark Reed, they rely on a person like Daniel to be integral in getting the message across to the entire team. He's the consummate veteran, the consummate pro. So they'll have some restructuring to do. Obviously, he's a letter player, the captain, but he'll move on, and it looks like he's only going to play one more year and give it this one shot in Detroit.
Now, staying with the Senators, later that afternoon on Friday, and of course we're speaking with Grant Saulnier on NHL Talk on here, Spud Sports Sunday, they traded for Bobby Ryan of the Anaheim Ducks. Good trade?
He's a real talented player. I've watched the kid since he was an underage playing major junior hockey in Owen Sound. Skating has always been his issue. It's improved to the point where it's now not an issue. He's still probably a player that, in the eyes of many people, hasn't lived up to the expectations of the star power, if you will. But Bobby Ryan is one heck of a hockey player. He's a terrific goal scorer. He's a puck possession type player that can make big plays at crucial times of the game. And, you know, I think Ottawa going after and getting him, that'll help lessen the loss of Daniel Alfredson for sure.
Staying on the topic of the Senators, they signed head coach Paul McLean to a three-year contract extension earlier this week. McLean is a keynote speaker in a coaching clinic that you're arranging at the end of this month. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the coaching clinic that you have going on?
Yeah, that's great, Ryan. Thanks for asking. It's started out, Jim Clark and myself. Jim is a former assistant GM in the National Hockey League and currently a pro scout for Ottawa. We wanted to try and do something for the community. We're both from Summerside. It didn't work out as well as we had planned. We had originally planned a three-day clinic, made the commitment to some of these speakers like Paul McLean, who is the keynote speaker. Subsequently, we've reduced it to a one-day clinic, and we're hopeful that we can get 75 people to come out, coaches that is. It's going to be July 26th. Paul will speak. Luke Richardson is coming, a 21-year veteran of the game as a player and now in the coaching ranks in Binghamton of the American Hockey League. We'll also have Dave Cameron will be speaking on special teams, power play, and penalty kill. We'll have Gardner McDougall from the University of New Brunswick. Island fans are certainly aware of all the accolades that he brings as a coach. winning his fifth national title. And then there'll be a panel discussion, a Q&A that will involve McLean and Cameron, as well as Gardner McDougall, and then we'll have Gerard Gallant and Doug McLean will be also part of that. So it should be a real good compact one-day event, and we're hoping that people will get on the site. It's hockeyatlanticcoachesclinic.com, and all the information's there. They can sign up online, and we're looking forward to having a great day.
Well, perfect. Grant, thank you so much for joining me. Grant Saunier on for NHL Talk here on Spud Sports Sunday, former assistant general manager and scout in the National Hockey League and current general manager of the Charlottetown Islanders of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. Grant, we'll have to get you on again sometime soon to talk some of your own team, the Charlottetown Islanders. Thank you for joining me this week.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
We're going to take a quick break here on Spud Sports Sunday, but coming up, it's my partner in crime, Jeremy Pearl, with the Blue Jays Report. Stay tuned.
Everything Classic, 102.1 Spud FM.
Everything Classic, 102.1 Spud FM. It's April Wine with Just Between You and Me, 7:42. You're listening to Spud Sports Sunday. I'm Ryan McKenna. Thanks so much for tuning in. And joining me on the line right now, it's the Blue Jays Report, Jeremy Pearl, all the way from San Diego. How you doing, Jeremy?
I'm great. How about you, Ryan?
Great, man. And just for our viewers who do not know the chemistry between Jeremy Pearl and I, here's a small sample size.
All right, Ryan, voicing his displeasure. Payne delivers a huge hit on Albert.
Pa-pow! Pa-pow, baby. Pa-pow. It's been a long time,
good
Jeremy.
Times, good times.
Good times is right. Jeremy and I do broadcast together for the Ryerson Rams Network and Ryerson University in Toronto. But that is not why you're on the show, Jeremy. You're on the show to talk a little bit about the Toronto Blue Jays. Earlier today, they played host to the Minnesota Twins at the Rogers Centre in Toronto. An 11-5 win. What did you like?
Well, I think it was an exciting game for the Blue Jays starter, Todd Redman, getting his first career win and his second start. I think it was also a big game for Rajai Davis, who went two for four, but had three RBIs, three runs, including a walk, as well as Colby Rasmus. He went three for four, three RBIs. I also think it was a big game for the team itself, needing to take two of three from Minnesota, first time they've played them this season. They're now two games back of .500. And it's kind of a pretty big point in their season, just past the midway point after the 11-game winning streak. The team needs to get back rolling again.
And, of course, the Toronto Blue Jays, 43-45 record, 10.5 games back in the American League East. And looking at the wild card standings, they're still a long ways back as well, sitting 5.5 games back, which it doesn't seem all that bad, but, you know, you're nearing the midpoint of the season. Now, the Jays went on an 11-game winning streak. It doesn't seem like not too long ago. What has happened since then, Jeremy?
I mean, that's the thing. 11-game winning streak, the town was going crazy. Everyone, you know, the sports writers were like, Blue Jays are back. This is the team we thought they were. And then they went to Tampa. They played at Boston. And it hasn't been the same team since then. The pitching they were getting during the streak hasn't been there. The offense, it's been struggling. The only thing that's really been consistent, the bullpen. The relievers have been strong, and that's why you see Brett Cecil going to the All-Star game, Steve Dalibard potentially going into the All-Star game. But the hitting and the pitching just has not been there. You haven't gotten consistency out of, you know, Dickey. Josh Johnson just hasn't been that Cy Young potential pitcher we've seen before when he was with Miami. The starting pitching has been the biggest problem all year, and since the 11-game winning streak, that's been the problem still. If the Blue Jays can figure out how to get consistent starting pitching and maybe stabilize the rotation, because, you know, every third start is someone new, the Blue Jays have used the most pitchers in baseball this year. There's obviously a stability factor that is lacking, and that's probably been the reason they've had a lackluster few games.
Now, Jeremy, you and I have covered the Toronto Blue Jays since the start of the season with the Jeremy and Ryan Show podcast. That has since gone a little bit defunct. My bad on that one. but
that's all good. This makes up for it.
This makes up for it. Welcome to Summerside, by the way. So there's a lot of doubters with the Jays' recent skid and whatnot, and maybe their chances on making the playoffs. What are your thoughts? Do you think there's still enough time left?
It's tough. I do think there's enough time left, but I think the Blue Jays are going to have to turn it around extremely quickly. That being said, it only takes, as we've seen, you know, just last, you know, this month, really, it only takes one 11-game winning streak to get back into the swing of things. Other than that 11-game streak, the Blue Jays really haven't been playing great baseball this year. If they can make something like that happen, I don't see why they can't jump back into it. That being said, that's a lot to ask for from a team that has not been playing great baseball, has not been getting consistent pitching or hitting, and especially when they need it. Do I think they can make the playoffs? Yes. Do I think it's likely? No.
So, Jeremy, on Thursday, Twitter blew up with an interview of catcher on the Toronto Blue Jays, J.P. Arencibia, on the Fan 590 Sportsnet's radio station. He was being interviewed by Brady and Lang, the morning show, the network's morning crew. Now, to give you a taste of what he said, he bashed a couple of Sportsnet analysts really badly. He said some pretty bad things about them. He called Greg Zahn a PED user, a steroid user, and he called Dirk Hagers down to lowest, saying that he has no right to criticize the team, especially since he's only spent a month in the major leagues. What do you make of all of this? Does JP have any merit at all to say these comments? He's been struggling a lot this season.
I think that's kind of the big thing. JP has been struggling this season, and it was supposed to be a huge season for JP. I think this is a little bit of him showing that frustration, but at the same time, I really don't think this is a place for him to be making comments. He doesn't need to be drawing more attention to himself in the way, you know, comparing his play to Greg Zahn. Arguably, at this point in his career, Greg Zahn, much better catcher. You know, statistically, he won a World Series. It's tough to argue. Yes, Greg Zahn has been mentioned as a PED user, but I don't think he was ever, you know, found guilty of that. With Dirk Hagers, you know, it's interesting because Arencibia talked about how when they were in AAA together that Arencibia mentioned, oh, well, I think you should use this pitch or work the outside a little bit more, and they work together. So it's very interesting to say that J.P. Arencibia mentioned that he was part of Dirk Hagers' mild success and then bash him for not being successful enough. It's kind of a fine line to cross there. What do you think of this? I personally think he shouldn't have been as vocal as he was, but I understand the points he's making.
It's tough to say, and really I'd love to get into a little bit more. Time's getting close for us here a little bit, and of course we're speaking with Jeremy Pearl, our Blue Jays report analyst here on Spud Sports Sunday, only on Everything Classic 102.1 Spud FM. Jeremy, I'd love to comment on that, but like I said, time's running short a little bit. Just wanted, before we let you go, your thoughts on the All-Star Game. The Blue Jays are sending Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion, and relief pitcher Brett Cecil to the All-Star Game. What are your thoughts on that? Are these guys merited?
I think it's completely deserving of Edwin Encarnacion and Brett Cecil. They've truly deserved it. I'm not 100% sure Jose Bautista truly, truly deserves it, but he is a marvelous talent, and it would be a shame if he wasn't in the All-Star Game. As well, Steve Zalabar is one of the last potential five in, or last one in, the last five to be voted in. Hopefully he adds to that Blue Jays delegation, and I think it would be cool to have four Blue Jays represented in the All-Star Game this year.
And of course, you can vote for Steve Zalabar, relief pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays, on MLB.com. It's the MLB write-in vote. It's interesting to see. I think Zalabar certainly earned his place. Looking ahead to
raise the bar.
Yeah, exactly. Raise the bar. Looking forward to this week. The Toronto Blue Jays have a day off tomorrow, and then they have a three-game set in Cleveland with the Cleveland Indians, and then wrapping up their first half of the season with a three-game set in Baltimore at Camden Yards. Jeremy Pearl, our Blue Jays report analyst here on Spud Sports Sunday. Jeremy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
All right, coming up after the break, we'll take a look at local baseball player J.P. Stevenson from New Glasgow, Prince Edward Island, who is currently playing for the Baseball Canada's junior national team on the New England Summer Tour. We'll see you in a bit.
Everything Classic, 102.1 Spot FM.
Phil Collins, You Can't Hurry Love on Everything Classic, 102.1 Spud FM, 7:53. You're listening to Spud Sports Sunday. I'm Ryan McKenna, your host for the show. Thanks so much for tuning in so far this evening. It's now time for the Spud Sports Sunday Athlete Profile of the Week. This week's athlete is New Glasgow native J.P. Stevenson. J.P. is a 6-foot, 160-pound left-handed pitcher who played his minor baseball with the Bedeck Blue Jackets as well as the Summerside Chevys. He's a member of the PEI Youth Selects and is also the staff ace on the 2013 PEI Canada Games baseball team, competing this summer in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The 16-year-old goes to school at Vauxhall Academy of Baseball in Alberta and is the son of Chris and Mary Beth Stevenson. His brother Jordan is a former member of the PEI Youth Selects and current pitcher of the Charlottetown Islanders senior baseball team. At the 2012 Canada Cup, a national tournament for the best baseball players in Canada aged 17 and under representing their provinces, JP was named the top pitcher for the entire tournament. Joining me now on Spud FM, Spud Sports Sunday, it's the head coach and baseball's director of national teams, Greg Hamilton. Greg, thanks for joining me.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
So, Greg, you are currently in the New England area, traveling across the United States. So give us an update on how the New England Summer Tour has gone so far, and what have you noticed that you've liked from the Canadian squad, and, well, maybe some things that you haven't liked so far.
We've been happy overall. I mean, it's an opportunity to play against teams in the New England Collegiate League, which is really a sister league to the Cape Cod League, which is the preeminent summer league for collegiate players in the States. And we're playing older players, guys a little bit more experienced, you know, some college experience under their belt, just a little more advanced in terms of where they are as players. So it challenges us. It's a good growth experience for our young players. We've got guys from 15 to 18, and again, you're playing college sophomores and freshmen, sophomores, and juniors, and the odd seniors. So it's worked out real well.
So when you're putting together a roster like this, you've done this for many years now for the junior national team. What do you look for whenever you're evaluating players and trying to put together a roster?
Well, I mean, the biggest challenge for us, we kind of go through a yearly cycle where we have sort of core elements of our program where, you know, for the most part, in summary, we play games against professional minor league teams in the Instructional League and the Extended Pro League and the Dominican Summer League. And that leads us into our international sort of preparatory schedule, which, again, leads us one step into or further into the World Junior Championships. So for us, it's development up until the very end when we've got to pick 20 players to represent Canada in the World Junior Championships. Preceding that time frame, we try to get the most talented kids in the country into the program at a young age and expose them to real good competition in a challenging environment and hopefully, you know, develop their skills and their games to move them forward in the game both professionally and collegiately. But now we're getting to the point where it's down to the fine strokes, and we've got to kind of figure out whose games are ready to compete at the international level in the World Championships coming up here late August, early September.
So in regards to J.P. Stevenson, he is from the Prince Edward Island area. You only have two players on your roster from the Maritimes, one from Nova Scotia, and then, of course, J.P. Stevenson from Prince Edward Island. Tell us about how you first noticed J.P. and how exactly he has made his way onto the junior national team.
Well, I first noticed him a little over a year ago. He participated for PEI in the Baseball Canada Cup, and you know, his delivery worked very well. He threw strikes. He had a good feel for a secondary pitch and a changeup, which is a very good pitch that he has. And you know, we watched him there and kind of followed him throughout the year. He's at the Vauxhall Academy in Southern Alberta, so we kind of watched how things progressed there. And he's, again, he's a kid that throws a lot of strikes, kid that's going to make you swing the bat. He's got a very good changeup, which is very effective, obviously, at any levels, but in particular with high school hitters, especially the better high school hitters who are challenged from the perspective of waiting on off-speed stuff. So he's, you know, he's a different look type of kid, and the fact that he throws strikes with an easy delivery and he's athletic and things work, you know, he's a guy that we're going to give a good look to.
speaking with head coach and Baseball Canada's director of national teams, Craig Hamilton. Is there any sort of player that you can compare him to in the major leagues, Greg?
You know, I think that's a little probably a little more difficult. I mean, he's a Mark Burley type of pitcher. I mean, in the sense of the velocity is not you know, what you would call major league average, or you know, really a plus for him. But his delivery works. He throws strikes. He's got a very good changeup, and he's got to pitch to contact, and he's got to make sure that he locates well. And you know, if you look at what Mark Burley does, I mean, he's certainly not getting hitters out at the big league level based on velocity. He's getting hitters out based on where he throws the ball and how he's able to execute off-speed pitches and hitters counts. And that's really how JP has to go about things, if he kind of changes his approach. And when he gets into tough situations and decides that he's going to try to overthrow, he's going to get himself in a lot of trouble because the velocity's not there. But you know, if he pitches and locates and again is able to throw the changeup and hitters counts, he's got a chance to be very effective.
So he made his first appearance last night for you guys. How about did he do?
I did a good job. You know, same thing, three strikes. I think he had a little bit of the jitters going for the first couple of hitters, and you know, kind of choked the change up a little bit and tried to make it do too much. But after that, he settled in well and executed his pitches and had a good outing.
So going into tomorrow night's game, he's slated as your starter against the Utica Brewers. Stevenson, he's slated to go. What will he need to do, Greg, to be successful?
Got to throw strikes. I mean, you know, that's sort of the operative word for any pitcher, but in his case, he really has to, because he doesn't have the, you know, the plus fastball or the plus breaking ball to bail himself out of troubles to go get a strikeout or to punch out a couple guys. If he's in trouble, he's a guy that's got to pitch to contact. He's going to, you know, try to make sure that the balls get put in play and you know, don't get squared up, because he's able to change speeds off that fastball with a real good changeup. So again, for him, it's location and throwing strikes and you know, making sure that he's not walking people. If he, you know, if he does that, he'll get himself in some trouble. But if he pitches the contact and executes, you know, again, his changeup, his fastball, he's got a chance to be very effective.
So I know the sample size is small, but maybe what are some of the aspects that you've noticed that he needs to come back here and work on leading up to the Canada Games?
Again, I think for him, it's believing in who he is, it's knowing what he is, and not trying to be something that he's not. I mean, there's always a preoccupation with velocity for young arms and young pitchers, and you know, it's very easy to look at guys that run it up there good and say, well, that's kind of the, you know, the sexy way of doing things, pardon the expression, but you know, that's not going to be his forte. He's got to be very, very comfortable with who he is and never give in tough situations and try to be somebody that he's not, which means, again, he's got to throw a lot of strikes. He can't be afraid of contact. And he's got to execute that changeup and hitters counts effectively. And if he does that, he's got a chance to get hitters out consistently.
So I know you mentioned at the start of the interview, and of course we're speaking with Greg Hamilton, the head coach and Baseball Canada's director of national teams. You mentioned at the first of the interview how you need to start finalizing your roster for the World Junior Games. Is JP somebody that could be in the future for the junior national team?
Oh, he's certainly in the mix. I mean, he's here. He's part of what we're doing right now. He's going to have to turn his way onto the club and you know, continue to get people out. I mean, again, for him, he's not a pitcher that you're going to take to come out of the bullpen and try to strike somebody out. He's a guy that you know, that again has to come in there and settle into a ball game and be effective in around contact, but you know, not hard contact. And you know, I think again, he's here for a reason, because we like what he has, and we're going to give him a really fair and good opportunity to see whether or not he can crack our roster. And you know, it's not easy. It's not easy to be 1-9 in the whole country. So you know, it's going to be a battle right down to the end with more than a few players, and he'll be one of them.
All right, so you guys play this evening against the Danbury Westerners, and then tomorrow JP will get the start against Utica. Greg, thank you so much for joining me here this evening, and best of luck this evening against Danbury.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me. Appreciate the interest.
That was head coach of the junior national team, Greg Hamilton. Pretty high plays for the young lefty, J.P. Stevenson, from New Glasgow. Now, earlier in the week, we also chatted with Bob Doyle, pitching coach of the 2013 Canada Games baseball team here on Prince Edward Island. The team is currently in Newfoundland in a tournament, but this is what Bob Doyle had to say on his young pitcher. I'm joined now by Bob Doyle, the pitching coach for the 2013 PEI Canada Game Squad. Bob, thanks for joining me.
Oh, no problem, Ryan.
Bob, just explain to me your relationship with J.P. Stevenson. How many years have you been associated with J.P.?
J.P.'s been with the Select program since 2011. I was with the pitching coach at that time, and he's really come along the last few years. So
what was your initial reaction when you heard that J.P. was named to the junior national team?
Well, very excited for him. He's put a lot of time and effort, and he's been one of the top performers here on PEI and in the Maritimes for the past few years, ever since probably, he's been probably one of the best pitchers in the Maritimes since he was Pee Wee. So the opportunity really arose from all the hard work he's put in the last few years.
What do you think was something that, Team Canada was really interested in? What did they notice out of JP that made them want to pick him up for their New England tournament?
Well, I think it's his command. It's the command of all of his pitches, whether it's fastballs, curveballs, changeup. He's a control pitcher. He can locate the baseball on both sides of the plate, in and out to lefties and righties. And his velocity's increased the last few years up to probably about 84, 85 miles an hour.
And, of course, JP is playing for your Canada Game Squad this summer. How will he be used? I understand that you guys are headed to or are in Newfoundland this weekend. How will he be used during the tournament in Sherbrooke, Quebec this summer?
He's definitely one of our top starters. He's going to be, we probably expect to start against probably one of the tougher teams in our division, giving us a better chance to get to a crossover and hopefully a medal game at Canada Games.
Perfect. Now, he's still a very young pitcher. He's only 17 years old. So what parts of his game do you feel, Bob, still need some work as a pitching coach?
I think he does an excellent job repeating his mechanics over and over again for each pitch. He spent a lot of time last year working on his breaking ball and trying to develop that from he's trying to tighten up his curveball and he's able to throw for strikes at any point in the count. And as long as he continues to develop that, continues to develop his off-speed pitches, I expect nothing but positive results for JP.
All right, Bob. Well, thank you very much for joining me today, and thanks so much, and best of luck this weekend in Newfoundland and as well at the 2013 Canada Games this summer.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
That was Bob Doyle, pitching coach of the 2013 PEI Canada Games baseball team. So as mentioned earlier, JP will make his first start for the junior national team tomorrow night at 7:30 Atlantic time. That's against the Utica Brewers. Best luck to J.P. Stevenson, the first ever Sports Sunday Athlete Profile of the Week. So that just about does it for our first ever episode with Spud Sports Sunday. I hope everyone enjoyed the show and that you're able to join me once again next week right here on Everything Classic 102.1 Spud FM. Big thanks to our producer, Matthew McKenna, at home recording the show, and to you, the listener, for tuning in. If you'd like a second listen to our show, the Spud Sports Sunday podcast will be available tomorrow on the Spud FM Facebook and Twitter pages. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm Ryan McKenna, and this was Spud Sports Sunday. So long now.